Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you've already done this morning in people's hearts. Thank you for the faith in this room, Lord. Thank you, God, because that line is so true. Who can imagine, with all this faith in the room, what the Lord can do? So, Father, we say how great thou art, Lord, and as we open your word today, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do, Father. Father, I pray that right now, Father, you still our hearts, Father. You get us ready, Father, for what you want to say. Holy Spirit, be the one now who speaks and who just places in our hearts what we need to hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How are you all? You well? Good to see you. It is my privilege that I get to speak to you this morning. I think last time we spoke was probably over our Vision Month. And what a month it was. But you know, as we were doing Vision Month, there was one word that I kept going back to constantly. You maybe heard me say a little bit about it before, but I want to speak to you about that word today. And that word is legacy. Legacy. So aware that we stand on the legacy of others, but that actually we are creating legacy constantly. Legacy isn't what we leave at the end of our lives. Well, it is. But that is marked by your today. It is marked by the decisions you make every day. It is marked by what you decide. It is marked by your actions. And so when we think of legacy, it's actually whatever we are creating right now. History will look back at Life Church, and what they'll talk about is what we are doing this moment, in this moment, right now, in the present. And so when we talk about legacy and we look at legacy, we're looking at what we are creating with our everyday, every moment of our lives. Who's watched that, any kind of time travel movie, Back to the Future, About Time, any kind of time travel movie, right? What happens when they go back in time? They go, be careful, because if you change one little thing, who knows what the future can hold? And today, that's what I want to talk to you about. The very next step, who knows what you are creating now for the future? Who knows? And people ask me all the time about my journey. You know, how did you get here? And all I can tell them is, it was a series, there is no one big thing. It was a series of small steps of obedience. Okay, God? Yep, I'll say yes to that. Okay, I'll say yes to that. Okay, I'll say yes to this. And it's constantly a continual looking and going, okay, God, I choose your way. I choose your way. And I know there are consequences for our actions. But I tell you, I stand here as a product of my decisions and consequences of my actions, but I'm also stand here as a product of grace. God's grace constantly with us. Yes, our actions have consequences, but yes, God's grace is with us. Grace and consequences are not separate things. They're actually partners to each other. When you walk with God, both things stand together. And we are creating forward constantly. And so when people tell me, why is this hard? When parents say to me, why is this hard? It's the most joyful thing ever, but it's also hard. I can say, because you're creating a future. You're creating something new. You are forming a family and a generation that comes before you. Marriage is the most beautiful idea that God has, of covenant and love and marriage, but your marriage will get tested. And at those moments that are hard, they are hard because you are creating, you are choosing, and you are creating what comes next. You are choosing the next thing. Youth. I know you have a lot thrown at you, young people. But even at a young age, you are choosing and creating legacy for yourself. What will you choose? And I stand as someone who didn't do everything right in my youth, but like I said, there are actions that have consequences, but God's grace is on our lives, and we continue to bring ourselves back to God's way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So life and journey is a series of small steps. It's not the big things, it is the small things. And every one of us is called to lead in the area that we're in. I mean, from Genesis, it says that we are called to rule, right? That is the first thing it tells us. So every single one of us is called to create and rule and move forward and move something in our lives and create something beautiful. And over the Vision Month, we have been thinking about Joshua and going into the Promised Land. And I don't know about you, look, I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a good legacy for my kids. And I believe that you want to leave a good legacy for your family, for your future, for what comes before you. The wrestle, whatever you're wrestling with today, it's never just about you. It is never just about you. Whatever you are fighting today, it is never just about you. It is for everything that comes from you into the future. And when we look at Joshua and we look at him entering the Promised Land, Joshua was not the only person who entered the Promised Land from the past generation. Only two people entered the Promised Land from the past generation. Only two people were able to step into the new from the past, a legacy that they moved forward. And those two people were Joshua and Caleb. And so this morning, I want to speak to you about Caleb. Because the Bible says that God himself says that Caleb has a different spirit. Numbers 14, verse 24 says, "Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Listen, last week, Jock spoke to you about surrendering, taking to God the things that you're trying to carry yourself and actually surrendering some things to him. And today I want to partner up with that and say to you, I also want you to take hold. You surrender to God, but you're also taking hold. You're taking hold of something in front of you. And so like Caleb, imagine if that was what was said about us. Shirley had a different spirit. Jock had a different spirit. Rochelle had a different spirit. Amy had a different spirit. Life Church was a church that was known because it had what? A different spirit. Amen? Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to be known from that? So we have some good things that we can learn from Caleb. And so we're going to turn to Caleb and his story. We don't get a lot of glimpses into Caleb. We only get three parts into Caleb's story. The first one is when he and Joshua were sent as the 12 part of the 12 spies into the land. The second one is when he enters the Promised Land, and then later on in his life. But at each time that it records what Caleb's story, which we get through Numbers and Judges and Joshua, each time they record his story, they record what he sees and what he says. What he sees and what he says. What if we could be people who could see like Caleb sees and who speaks like Caleb speaks? Because he saw things differently and he spoke very differently. So we're going to go to Numbers 13. Verse 30. Now, the background to this is 12 spies have been sent to the land. 10 come back to the Promised Land that God said, "This is for you, and I've prepared a way, and this is where I want you to go." 10 come back and say, "We are like grasshoppers. We are like little tiny grasshoppers in their eyes. These are giants, and we are like grasshoppers." And this is Caleb's response. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Let's stop right there, because Aaron spoke earlier about silencing the voices around us. This was a great crowd of people. It wasn't just a few, it was a great crowd of people. He didn't just go, shh. He went quiet. quiet. He silenced the voices around him. He said, he spoke. And where they were seeing a giant, he spoke faith. And he comes back and he says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can certainly do it. Further down in Numbers 14, verse 9, where people are just not having any of it, he says again, do not be afraid of the people of the land, for they will be like bread to us. I feel like that's maybe the Hebrew version of I'll eat them for breakfast. I don't know, but that's what I thought when I read it. We can have them for breakfast. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, for they will be like bread to us. Their protection has been removed, and the Lord is with us. So do not be afraid of them. Caleb saw something different, and he spoke something different. Where everyone was saying, look at my giant, he was going, but look at my God. But look at my giant. No, no, no. Look at my God. But look at my giant. No, look at my God. Where others were hearing fear, he actually speaks faith. We can do it. We can certainly do it because God is for us. And where others were speaking to the giant and talking about it, he silences. He silences it all and says, no, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about who God is. And this morning, I have loved that the worship has been how we speak to your soul and how we see. And can you imagine what the Lord can do? Because that is exactly Caleb's journey. I feel like Caleb could have written this worship set list this morning because that is exactly what he would sing about. But listen, how he saw the world is very different. And how we see our world, how we frame our world, how we look at our world is really important. Because we either shift our eyes to what's around us, or we shift them up to God. Because the word says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because what we see is what they saw, giants. But what he saw was God's perspective. He saw the heavenly perspective. He saw something different because we saw it with something else. And this is not a journey of like the giant every day, but it's in the small things. Don't wake up this morning and go, oh my gosh, it is so gloomy and awful and worst day ever. And yes, is there disappointment? And maybe have we had to cancel some things? I'm sure you are very upset about canceling worship night outside tonight. Or we just start with the very basic and go, God, thank you that there is breath in my lungs. Thank you that I am alive today. Thank you that a farmer out there needs that rain. You know, even science catches up with the word of God always, right? They tell us now with this attitude of gratitude that they talk about, that it rewires your brain, just being thankful for things. How we see the world matters. How we look at things matters. As a parent, you either see your child who is stubborn and, you know, having a tantrum as like, I don't know what to do and this is really hard. Or you go, my goodness, look at that greatness, that boldness, that courage, that champion that I get to train, that I get to grow into an amazing man of God. How we see matters. I either see every little thing that my husband does that really annoys me, like leaving his contact lenses everywhere, as something that creates an issue, and I focus on that. Oh, yes, I don't cut bread properly, apparently. He got his therapy last week. I got my therapy this week. But you either get frustrated, annoyed by the small things in your marriage, or actually... or you laugh about them, or you talk about them, or you shift your eyes to what an awesome human being they are. I shift my eyes to what an awesome human being you are, babe. It's the small things. If your friend doesn't text you back straight away, does your mind go inward, oh, they mustn't like me? Or do you go outward? Hey, I hope they're okay. Hey, I'll just send a prayer. God, they sound like they're super busy right now. God, I hope they're okay. Praying for them right now. Where are we shifting our sights? Inwards or outwards? Are we seeing with the love of God? Or are we just seeing it in a different way? Caleb knew how to speak. He spoke in the silence. Silence speaks. He spoke to that around, and it is so important how we speak. You know, the ancient world saw the soul like a third person. They spoke to their soul. David is the most amazing at this throughout the whole of Psalms. He's like, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" He speaks to his soul. And I was looking at that word downcast, and apparently it comes from the word when a sheep is on its back and it is not able to get up. Because he's a shepherd, right? So he's saying to his soul, "You just can't get up this morning, can you? Why are you downcast, O my soul?" He speaks to his soul. He says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits." He even says, "Be at rest, O my soul." He speaks to his soul. Listen, the Bible says, take every thought captive. And I think sometimes we're taken away even just by the thought. Like, we're not supposed to have thoughts. We live in a world that is full of bad news and gossip and, you know, different things around us. Thoughts are going to come. The Bible isn't saying thoughts are bad. It's saying, what are you going to do with them? What are you doing with the thoughts? Don't get taken out by the thought itself. You're not perfect people. I remember, because I was telling someone about this week when we were talking about kids, I said to her, I remember so vividly when my kids were small. I can't remember how old they were. And things were tough. And I just, from nowhere, this thought came, because I moved up here from London. I'm moving to London, and I am just leaving all this behind. Don't tell me you haven't had thoughts like that. I am just going, I am leaving, I've had enough, I don't care. And I remember grabbing that thought, like literally grabbing that thought and speaking to that thought and saying, I love my kids, and I love my husband, and I love my marriage, and I believe in the covenant of marriage, and I believe in the gift that children are. And look at you, thoughts, where do you take my tomorrow? You take me down to regret. You take me down to brokenness. You take me down to pain. So no, thank you. That's what you do with the thought. And when the Bible talks about taking every thought captive, it does it in Corinthians in the context of warfare. It is not some take a thought captive. No, it is take the thought, look at that thought, speak to that thought, and tell it the truth, and then take that thought away. You've got to reframe how you look and how you see. Don't let the thoughts park up there. And listen, I'm not talking about being perfect. We're all human beings. I still argue with my husband, believe it or not. I had to apologize yesterday because I did not, I had hurt his feelings about something. You know, I apologize to my kids, but okay, fine. We're not perfect. Stop trying to be a perfect, well, no, you work towards goodness, obviously. But I think we berate ourselves sometimes when we get it wrong. The challenge isn't that I'm going to get it wrong sometimes. The challenge is, what do you do with that? Do you know what? I didn't get my parenting right today. Kids, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that I said that. And I just want you to know I love you. And you know what? Let's talk about it. Because the only way forward is good communication and talking about it. You know? It's what you do with it. This isn't... We're going to go to Caleb's next story in a second. In fact, let's go into it now, right? Caleb's story, the next time you hear about it, is 45 years later. 45 years later. So please hear me right. I am not saying, yeah, just see something different and then speak it different. And that's it. And it's perfect and it's done. No, 45 years of holding on to a promise. This message isn't called see like Caleb, speak like Caleb. It's called the path to the promise. Because it's a journey of life. It's a step by step by step by step. And sometimes it's a sidestep, and then you go, okay, forward step. 45 years. You know, my mother got saved at 19. My father wasn't a Christian. Do you know how long she prayed for my dad? 20 years till he got saved. 20 years she prayed for him. My sister went away from God in her youth. My mother prayed. 10 years. 10 years. And now my sister is plugged into church. Amazing person. Loves Jesus. 10 years of a parent praying. So when I say it's the path of promise, when I say see like Caleb, speak like Caleb, it's not, yeah. No, it's a journey. It's a path to the promise of God. It's a continual, God, I will see like you see, I will walk like you walk, and I will speak of your goodness. And the reality is around me, and that emotions are around me. Things are around me. I live in a world that is very different in thinking to how I think. But God, step by step, it is a path to the promise. And yet 45 years later, Caleb still sees with the same eyes, and he still speaks in the same way. Joshua 14:6. This is when they enter the promised land. You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me. You and me, Joshua, we made it. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. I'll just skip on down. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for these years. Now give me the mountain that the Lord promised me that day. For you yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and the cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron as his inheritance. And so Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And this last bit is important. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. That line's important. The giants still existed. In fact, not only the giants, the greatest giants lived in the part that he wanted on the mountain hill that he knew was his. They hadn't moved. They were still there. And yet Caleb still has the same, still sees with the same eyes, still speaks to the promise. This time, he sees the promise and he speaks to the promise. He said, give me the mountain. And I don't know what we have to hold on to today, but I do know that some of you are standing and you have stood for a long time. For families, for children, for friends. And sometimes for finances. And I want us to remind us that this is a journey and that there are promises of God that we still need to stand and ask him for. The Bible says, as you sow, you will reap. It says, test me in the finances. You and your household will be safe. There are promises that God gives us throughout the word that we can stand on in every situation. And today when we pray, because I want us to pray in a bit, I want us to ask. You know, we surrendered last week because there's a surrendering that needs to be done. It's like, God, only you. But then there's also a holding on to the promise and asking God for those things that we know that we can stand on the word of God for, stepping in and imagining like he imagines. Who can imagine with all the faith in this room what the Lord can do? God wants you to imagine with him. The last thing about Caleb is this. He never tried to do anything on his own. From the beginning to the end, he said, if God is with me, God has declared it. God promised it. And I think sometimes we try to do some things on our own. God wants to involve with you in every area of your life. It's a relationship. The Holy Spirit is there with you. He wants to involve. Sometimes we try to do things on our own. I've had a few conversations with people who try to forgive on their own. It's really hard. I try and I try and I try and I can't forgive. And my response is, you can't do it on your own. You can't. You are participating in the forgiveness work of the Holy Spirit. You are saying, God, I find this hard to forgive, but I choose to participate with your work of forgiveness. I choose to walk with you, Holy Spirit, in the forgiveness that you can walk me in. No, it says the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. How many of us try to get hold of our health on our own? Have you invited the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, God, help me to see why food is such comfort to me. Help me to see why I struggle so much to do this. Holy Spirit, come on this journey with me. Don't try to do things on your own. The Bible says that the word legacy is the word portion in the Bible. And the Bible is clear, the Lord is your portion. Every single one of us are building treasures here for heaven. Right? Our eyes aren't here. Our eyes are in heaven. That we are building storehouses. That God is just looking at our lives and delighting in what we're doing. But our eyes are not on this. And he is with us as we do this journey together. And then the last time we see Caleb and we hear of Caleb is in Joshua 15. And it's with his daughter Aksa. And I love this story because it's like legacy leaves legacy. Yeah. His 45 years of the path to the promise, of his daily decisions, of his looking to God, you get a culmination of it here. Joshua 15, 18. One day, when Aksa came to Othniel, her husband, she urged him to ask her father for a field. And when she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What can I do for you?" And she replied, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in Negev, give me also the springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. In one conversation, it's like his legacy looks back on the legacy that he's left. Because in one conversation, her daughter speaks to the giant and speaks to the promise, just like her father. She does not see the fact that in her time, women didn't get inheritance. They weren't supposed to have anything. She doesn't see the limitations of her giant. She turns to her father because she knows who her father is. And she asks him. And it's almost like Caleb's story condensed into one, and you see what he is leaving in his daughter, which is a woman who knows how to see like her father saw, and she knows how to speak like her father spoke. Give me the land. Give me the mountain. And he just recognizes what's in her. He says, not just the lower springs. I'll give you the upper springs as well. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what he leaves behind after him, of what he has left through his 45 years of walking through this path of the promise. And it's a beautiful picture of how we can approach our Father today. Our Father loves us. He wants the best for us. He doesn't see the giant. He sees through his eyes. He sees you as he sees you. And so this morning, I want us to stand. We are all on the path to the promise. Like Caleb, We are on a path. This is life. And our choices every day matter. And what we look at and what we speak matters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take a moment and just remember, like Caleb remembered, the promises of God. Whatever you're facing today, just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind the promise that He has over you. Promise of health. Promise for your children. Promise for your future. A promise of provision. Father, this morning, Lord, we shift our eyes to You. Father, You are our Maker, God, and You are our Father, and You love us, God. And Father, I pray this morning, as we look through the eyes like Caleb did, Father, right now we speak like Caleb spoke, Father, and we ask You, God, we ask You, Lord, to help us in our everyday, in our interactions, in our schools, in our offices. Father, help us to lay hold of the promise. Father, this is a path that we are on. It is a journey that we are on. But Lord, You want us to lay hold of what's ahead. And so, Father, I pray today that boldness would arise, that courage would arise, that hope would arise, Lord. Where there has seemed like there is no hope, I pray that hope would arise right now, Lord, in friendships, in marriages, Lord. Father, let your joy be our strength, Father. When things are hard, let us look to You. Let us see through Your eyes, Father, and let us be ones, Father, who speak, Father, of Your promise and Your goodness, Lord, who speak to our souls and remind our souls of the goodness of who You are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week and we'll see you soon.